Welcome to News Tribune on Tap. I'm Gary Caster, managing editor at the Jefferson City News Tribune and host of News Tribune on Tap, a weekly conversation about news and issues in Jefferson City that matter to you. Today's special guest is Vivek Malik. Hello, Vivek.
Hello, Gary. How are you?
I'm doing well. For those who don't know, Vivek is the state treasurer of the state of Missouri. So he was appointed back in December of 2022 by Governor Parson. So Vivek, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Where do I start? That's the question.
There you go.
Gary, I was born in India and was raised in India till I was 24 years old. And at that time, I decided I wanted to extend my education. And I came to the United States to pursue my master's in business administration and came to Southeast Missouri State University for my master's. That was in 2001, mm-hmm. and precisely the date was August 11, 2001. Believe it or not, that was the first flight of my life. I had never flown in a plane before.
That's not a short flight either.
It is a long 14-hour flight, yeah. And when you're flying for the first time, you just cannot settle in your seat because it was a different experience. Mm-hmm. I cannot relate with it now because I've flown so much in the last 20 years. But then landing in Chicago was quite an experience. It was quite intimidating also at the same time, trying to wade my way through to find my next gate to St. Louis.
Mm-hmm.
And I was not very fluent in English that time, but managed to get to my gate for St. Louis and got my second flight of my life, so as to say, and then got down to Cape Girardeau in a cab. Funny enough, it was a Saturday evening when I reached Cape Girardeau,
mm-hmm.
and the person I had made arrangements, another grad student, to stay with for a few days, he was not home. I knocked on the door, nothing happened, and then the lady drivers told me that there's nobody. Maybe they're out partying on Saturday evening.
Yeah.
So where do you want to go? And I had no clue. I had no relatives, no friends in the whole United States who I can call and ask for any advice.
Sure.
And hearing nothing from me, it was getting late. She wanted to get home, so she dropped me at the Cape Girardeau police station.
Okay.
So the officer was nice enough to help me, and I got to a hotel, took a cab. From then on, I just started my school, and it was great. My first experience was as a student worker in an international office. I remember exactly at 8:30 in the morning on September 11, right after 1 month I had arrived. We were watching, and suddenly everybody just started running downstairs to watch what's happening on TV. Mm. It was a traumatizing experience.
Sure.
But that opened my eyes to something very different. I was there to study business, but from that day on, I saw how Americans came together, and I realized how much it meant for Americans what patriotism was.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw everybody getting together, irrespective of what their belief systems were. And that was a very, very eye-opening experience for me. And from that point on, I decided I was not only studying business, I studied the American principles of hard work, opportunity. I read our Bill of Rights. I went to law school after that and continued my studies for American Constitution. And that's how I fell in love with this country.
Yeah, wow. Yeah, it's amazing how dates like that can just shape your life and chart a new course for you. So from there, you ended up going to St. Louis?
So I went to University of Illinois Urbana-Champaign for my law school. Mm-hmm. I graduated from there and then came down to St. Louis, practiced law with a downtown firm for about 4 years before I started my own practice in 2011. And then grew that practice by having over 24 staff, 5 attorneys across 3 states.
Mm.
I had a very good successful run. And I practiced, my major focus area was immigration law. It kind of came naturally to me as I came as a foreign student to this country and had to wade through the whole immigration process myself.
Right.
And I could relate to all the challenges that people would face who wanted to immigrate to this country. In fact, it took me myself 16 years to become a naturalized citizen.
Oh.
So it was a long journey, but I enjoyed it thoroughly.
Yeah.
Every bit of it.
Yeah. So in 2022, you get a call from the governor says, I have a job for you.
Actually, I got an opportunity to serve and repay my blessings actually in 2020 when the governor appointed me to my alma mater at the Board of Governors and I served on that board for 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
And I think there was something that I was doing probably was being noticed, and that's when I received a call to come in for an interview for this position.
Yeah.
And I'm lucky, and I would say it's an honor that I was chosen to serve in this position. I'm very grateful for having this opportunity to pay back my blessings that I received in
All
this
right.
country.
So kind of give us an idea of what the job of a treasurer is.
To be honest, when I was stepping into the office, I had read about a lot what treasurer does, but still could not wrap around my brain what exactly the treasurer did.
Mm-hmm.
And the first thing was when I stepped into the office was I was handed over a check of $476.33. And I was like, oh, what is this? And I was told this is my unclaimed property check. And the director of the unclaimed property, Mr. Scott Harper, was funny enough. He said, we just didn't want you to sign your own check. That was the first time I knew that I had some unclaimed property.
Yeah.
But the office, besides being the custodian of the state funds, which on an average daily basis we manage about anywhere between $17 to $18 billion in mm-hmm. investments of the state funds, we also administer several of the programs through the office, be it the MoBucks program, which was started by Treasurer Wendell Bailey back in the 1980s.
Mm-hmm.
And it will be interesting to know that the first recipient of the MoBucks program was our own Lieutenant Governor Mike Kehoe.
Oh.
Back in 1981.
That's good to know.
So MoBucks is a great program where we help small businesses with less than 100 employees and farmers to get low interest rate loans.
Mm-hmm.
And that is especially very, very attractive when the prime rate has gone beyond 8%. And with our MoBucks program, we are effectively able to reduce that rate by 30 to 35%.
Wow, that's substantial.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So that's one of the wonderful programs we have. And then we have the unclaimed property. We have anywhere between 1.3 to 1.4 billion in unclaimed property today. I was in Springfield the other day. We had displayed some of the contents of the safety deposit boxes that we received from Southwest region.
Mm-hmm.
It was amazing what you can find in those safety deposit boxes. In the Greene County alone, there is about $37.5 million of unclaimed property that what we announced. And suddenly when it went on the airwaves in the news, we saw a huge spike in people checking their unclaimed property online.
Sure.
At showmemoney.com.
Yeah.
So I was very happy. I have a kind of a love-hate relationship with unclaimed property.
Yes.
Because I hate it because it is your property that I am holding or the treasurer's office holding.
Right.
I love it because I get to return it and
sure.
give people a smile on their faces.
Oh, absolutely. Well, and so how does the treasurer come up with the unclaimed property? You mentioned safety deposit boxes.
Right.
When someone dies, I'm assuming, and there's not a relative.
Right. So there are several ways this people's money can end up in unclaimed property. If you had a payroll check and before your last payroll check, but you moved from your address and you never got it, that would end up in unclaimed property.
Mm-hmm.
If you had any tax refunds that got lost in mail or you never received them, that would end up in unclaimed property.
Mm-hmm.
Any safety deposit boxes that you had or relative had and that became inactive after 5 years, the bank will take possession of the safety deposit box and then inventory the contents of it and then send that to the unclaimed property. We hold those contents for 5 years and trying to locate the owners of that. And we also advertise heavily that you should look up on showmemoney.com if you have something coming. And if you don't receive any claims for that property within 5 years, then after 5 years, we put those things on auction. So every year there's a state auction, and this year's state auction is going to happen in Cape Girardeau, Missouri in September.
Okay. You're right. I mean, the website is very easy to put your own name in. I also will share, you place ads in newspapers across the state in which it lists, in, for instance, here in Cole County,
mm-hmm.
all the people with unclaimed property. And I know I've had some legislators even share with me that their staff will go through and look for names that they know of people in their district
So they can basically call up and say, hey, Vivek, did you know that I saw your name was had some unclaimed property? So I really appreciate the multiple ways that the office reaches out to try to reunite the money, the property with the people.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. And I may have a number for Cole County, how much we have, which I'll just share with you shortly. But we were just discussing about various programs that the office has. Apart from the unclaimed property MOBUX, we also administer the MOST program, the 529 student saving plan.
Right.
And we are one of the states which has one of the best programs. The number has been growing in number of accounts that we have every quarter. We see a raise. A lot of people are getting aware of saving money, putting it away for their kids. And the good part about the 529 plan is that recent changes have made it a little more flexible, where you can use that money not only for college, but also for school.
Okay.
If you want to send your kid to a high school, in a private school, you can use that money to send them to a private school too. And also, if for some reason your child has decided not to go to college, you can utilize that money for 15 years and it can be rolled over into a Roth IRA. So it is also an investment tool.
Sure.
And that change just happened this January. Before that, if you had to take money out, you had to pay tax on that. But now you can roll it into a Roth IRA.
That makes it a lot more flexible for as plans change. I mean, to me, the power of that program is you invest when the child is young, right?
Yeah.
You don't wait until they're a high school student.
Right.
And so there's no way you're going to know exactly what that career path, educational path the child will have. So that seems like that's a very valuable change that was made in the program.
Absolutely. So as I was mentioning to you that we'll have the numbers for the Cole County, and we do, and we have about 101,000 accounts which have over $8 million in unclaimed property.
Wow.
So that is roughly about $80. Everybody, on an average, if you average it out, that could be a good dinner money.
It could be. You're right. And I tell you what, in our show notes, we'll definitely be sure to put in the web address as well as the pages we've published that list, so you could look for your neighbors as well or family members. So absolutely. And I believe you set basically a record amount of returned property already this year. Is that right?
That is correct. Broke every past record so far. And we hope that in the coming days, we will be able to return more and more of it to Missourians. But continue on the discussion about the programs we have. Apart from the most unclaimed property and the MOBUX, we have a new program called Most Scholars. Most Scholars was initiated last year. So far, we have been able to help through the Most Scholars program to give away scholarships to more than 1,500 students. So the scholarship amount is $6,500 for students who are in school from K through 12, and they can get the scholarship and utilize that money to take it to a private school, and they can use that money to go to a private school, a charter school, hire a private tutor. If they need help with the STEM courses, they can buy tools, they can buy books with this money, whatever the need is. For example, if a school doesn't have the resources, if a student has dyslexia, for example, or has some learning disability, or the time they get to the counselor is very less, that is not helping them in a public school system, they can utilize this money to help them with those needs as well.
Okay.
And the uniqueness of this program is that the money is not appropriated through the state budget. The money is donated by individuals and businesses in the state. And once they make that donation, they get a tax credit from DOR for dollar for dollar for that donation. So for example, if I owe the state of Missouri a tax liability for year 2023, $10,000, I can donate up to half of that, $5,000, towards the Most Scholars program.
Okay.
And receive a tax credit certificate, which will lower down my tax liability by $5,000. And also, I will be helping at least 5-6 students to get a good education.
Sure.
It's a wonderful program. I think I encourage people to look into this.
So let's say the News Tribune was going to participate in that. How would one go about doing that?
So News Tribune, all they will have to do is they will have to contact one of the 6 EAOs in the state, which are called Educational Assistance Organizations. And they will say, well, we estimate, our CPA has estimated that our total tax liability for this particular year would be this much. So we would like to donate half of that. So you would write a check for that half of the amount and give it to one of the EAOs, who will then verify that with the DOR, and a tax credit certificate will be issued to you.
Okay.
But the key thing is the cap is at $25 million.
All right.
So if somebody has to donate, they need no need to wait till December because we may already reach our cap by that time and then no tax credits will be available.
Gotcha. So on the flip side, let's say there's a parent mm-hmm. who is looking to tap into this resource. How does a parent get their kid in a spot where they could accept a Most Scholar?
Right. So on our website, on the mostscholars.com, mm-hmm. The parents can look up which school they want to send their kid to and see which EAO that school works with.
Okay.
And then they have an application. They have to go through that process of filling out an application for this year or next year. There's a cutoff deadlines mm-hmm. By what date they have to fill out that application.
Okay.
And then receive the scholarship money.
Our selections based on need?
Income, yes.
Yeah.
Need and means basis.
Yeah. Okay.
And apart from Most Scholars Most, we have some wonderful programs called Missouri Checkbook, mm-hmm. where you can, with a lot of high school students, when they start working outside, and the first time they're paying taxes, they have this question, where is my money going from these taxes? Mm-hmm. So we have this neat schematic on our website and various formats where it will tell you where all your dollars are going.
Sure.
So it is broken county by county, municipality by municipality as mm-hmm. well, which is very easy to understand. Are your Missouri dollars being utilized judiciously or not?
Right. I would argue with you that it's probably not just high schoolers should pay attention, but folks yours and my age as
right.
well. I mean, it creates that transparency
right.
that you know that your tax dollars are being spent in a responsible way.
Absolutely. No, I was saying that just because I had that question from one high school student who started out his first job, and he said, I've paid my first tax return. I just wanted to know where my tax dollars are going.
Yeah. It's amazing how you get that paycheck and you start looking then at what has been taken out of what you've earned.
Right.
So
right.
it has a new reality for you at that
exactly.
point.
Exactly. I was told I was making $15 an hour, but this doesn't translate into $15 an hour.
Exactly.
Right, right. So we have a great program, the State Treasurer's Office, and sometimes being funny, I always say, well, you will see government trying to get your money all the time, but at State Treasurer's Office, we are always there helping out people and giving back, whether be it the unclaimed property, mm-hmm. or be it the MoBucks, or be it the Most program, or the Most Scholars program, the MoAble program, which is for people who are disabled or have some sort of injury, and then eventually as they grow older, they need more funds to take care of themselves. It's similar to the Most program, where parents or themselves, they can start putting money as saving, which will not conflict with the disability payments or their medical payments.
Sure.
So we have wonderful, wonderful programs, and soon, hopefully next year, we'll also be administering Show Me Retirement. That is for new business or businesses which will have 50 or less employees, where they can enroll their employees in a retirement program, more like a Roth IRA, which will have no obligation for contribution from the employer, but the employee can start saving a portion of their earnings and grow that earning over the course of time.
Yeah. So, you know, it strikes me as we talk about these programs and your experience there that I'm just curious, what inspires you every day when you get ready to go to work? As a public servant, it has a different incentive, if you will, than when you were, for instance, had your own law firm, right?
Right, right.
It's a different type of day.
So two things. One, when I was in law practice, I had my practice for 18 years almost, and every day I would be dealing with immigrants from all different sorts of places and countries, and it was always a drive for me how I can help them, how I can help them achieve their American dream.
Mm-hmm.
And my driving force every morning coming to the office and working here is to make sure how I can help Missourians get the best what they can and achieve their God-given potential, and how we can make the programs we have better so that it just helps everybody who can utilize these opportunities to advance themselves.
Mm-hmm. So how do you define success when you've done a good job?
I think success is very subjective. For everybody, it has a different meaning. For me, I will find success when I will start receiving the reviews from our constituents in the state that, Vivek, you have done a good job as a treasurer.
Yeah.
And that will be my satisfaction, and where I will feel that, yes, I have succeeded in my mission, where I have helped our fellow statesmen.
Very good. Well, Vivek, thank you for joining us today.
Thank you very much, Gary. Appreciate it.
Thanks for listening. You can find News Tribune on tap at newstribune.com, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and Google Play.